Our gospel lesson for this baptism of the Lord Sunday comes this year from the Gospel of Mark. Please take note that it is in the first chapter. Mark, which was the first gospel to have been written, does not have any birth narratives. He starts with Jesus' baptism. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descend like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. Well, today is the first Sunday of the liturgical church season of Epiphany. Epiphany is a word that literally means an appearance or a manifestation. And it's come to mean any moment of great or sudden revelation or realization. And we often hear the term an aha moment. In the biblical context, however, it basically refers to when someone recognizes the presence of God in Jesus of Nazareth. For instance, on the day of Epiphany, January 6th, which is yesterday, the 12th day of Christmas, the church reads the story of the three magi, commemorating the recognition and the manifestation of the sacred presence of God in the Christ child Jesus. On the first Sunday of Epiphany, the assigned lectionary gospel reading, whether from Matthew, Mark, or Luke, is always the baptism of Jesus. It is categorized as an Epiphany story for the same reason. And just as Jesus was coming out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Well, I usually use the occasion of this Sunday, of the baptism of the Lord Sunday, to reflect upon the various understanding of baptism in our own Presbyterian tradition, which is called Reformed theology. But as important as that is, I want to go in a different direction this morning. And the jumping off point is just one particular element of an understanding of baptism. Our baptism functions somewhat as an initiation into the family of God, marking a starting point and a new beginning. So it's not a coincidence that this baptism of the Lord Sunday comes at the beginning of each new year. Even though January 1st is simply another day, the one that follows December 31st, there has always been a special and symbolic meaning in the turning of the church or the yearly calendar. And yes, we still bring with us all that we have been and done into this new year, but there is also a strong desire in most people to seek a way to begin again. As kids playing games, we simply declared, "Do over." But is it really possible to clean the slate and to make a new start? Well, Christianity declares yes, thanks to God's loving grace and forgiveness. But fresh starts are challenging because we are working with the same person who was part of the past. ourselves. And it has been shown that it is difficult to leave the past behind because somehow it is comfortable, in that we grow accustomed to behaving and responding in familiar ways, whether they are healthy or not. But yes, fresh starts are possible. And it begins, as you might expect, with serious reflection. In this month's Word from the Pastor newsletter article, I shared a metaphor that you have heard me use before, as I did this morning during the time with the children. It concerns a backpack. And it goes like this. Each of us carries around, metaphorically, a backpack filled with all the events, thoughts, and feelings of the past year. So think about what you carry around in your backpack. Then ask yourself, what would I like to take out of my backpack and leave behind as I journey into this new year? In other words, what would be beneficial to your body, your mind, and your spirit to let go? Then ask yourself, what would I like to continue to carry with me in my backpack as I journey into the new year? In other words, what qualities, what people, what activities, and what things do you want to keep around you? That which has been beneficial to your body and mind and spirit. And finally, ask yourself, what would I like to add to my backpack as I journey into this new year? In other words, what do I need to do differently in order to benefit my body and my mind and my spirit? And you may also want to ask, how do I want to feel? Who do I want to be? What do I want to create? In the waning days of last year, Bishop Carlton Pearson, many of you know him, he's now associated with All Souls Unitarian Church here in town, sent out an email detailing how each January he initiates a deliberate personal, physical, mental, and spiritual detox. And he's done so each year for the past 40 years. Now, I understand a physical detox, primarily through a change in eating habits and exercise and enough sleep, anything that is more beneficial to the body. In fact, since my week-long visit after Christmas to my healthy eating and exercising older brother and sister-in-law in Denver, which basically describes everyone who lives in Denver, I've come home and fixed a healthy fruit and vegetable smoothie each and every day. But you know, in order for me to do that, I realized that I needed to change where I shop for groceries. Going a bit out of the way and giving up a bit of convenience for healthier eating habits has now become a priority in my own efforts to begin again. And that, for instance, is something that I choose to add to my backpack. But I was especially intrigued by Carlton's email, by the idea of a mental and spiritual detox. So here's the important question. What have you been putting into your mind, your feelings, your spirit that is toxic? Speaking personally, I immediately thought of my obsession with following the fallout of every tweet that comes from our president. For many of us, if not all of us, constant negative stimulation is toxic and is damaging and dangerous to our mental and spiritual well-being. So that, for instance, is something I have chosen to take out of my backpack. And to help us all in this regard, let us try to keep focus on what really matters in life. And let us not allow ourselves to be distracted by the latest shiny object. And Carlton Pearson encourages, Let's make some new and better personal choices that will affect and enhance the rest of our lives on this planet and in this plane of consciousness. As you know, over the past few years, I have put a special emphasis on the reality of the sacred presence of God that dwells within each one of us and within all of creation. But you know, there is a next step to that realization. And in his daily meditation post from his website, Center for Action and Contemplation, Richard Rohr posted just this week something very helpful in this regard. And he writes, "We already and always have the divine image within us, but we hopefully grow into the divine likeness as we begin to externally resemble the goodness of God. It usually takes us a long time to rediscover what has been true all